At NBC on Main, at our yummy little church here, we have begun a walk through 1st and 2nd Timothy, where Paul begins to speak into or mentor a young pastor, a young missionary, a young church planter. And as we look at this story, I am overwhelmed and amazed a lot of times at how Paul does things. I'm even more overmazed when I get a chance, overmazed, that's a new word. That's overwhelmed and amazed, all put together. You're welcome. Overmazed. You'll be using that this week in your classrooms and in your workplaces. I become more overmazed time and time again at what happens when we actually contextualize what's going on. What happens at the end of chapter 3 in 1 Timothy is kind of like a glitch. It's like a, you know, you got all this stuff going on, and then you, wait, why did he do this, all right? And they, the commentary people call it a bridge. Well, this is the bridge between this section and this section. No, it's not. It's an ADD moment. There is no theological term for it. This brother is going to town, and then he goes, hold up, before I forget, boom, and he drops this on us. Now, normally I don't preach on 2 or 3 verses, but today I am. This is what you're going to see on the screen is simply 2-3 verses, all right, that is the finish of chapter 3. We did almost all of chapter 3 last week, but we're going to hit these last 3 because it has everything to do and nothing to do with what we talked about, okay? But here's what Paul's doing. He's going, all right, you need to watch out for these false teachers. You need to be careful for the people all around you. You need to be encouraged because I love you, and I promise you were called, and you were trained, and you were prayed for, and I am empowering you in this job. And when it comes to women, and when it comes to leadership, and when it comes to how people act during worship, here's some things you need to do, and here's how you need to do them, and this will help the church. Oh, I've been talking for 25 minutes, and it's all important, but do not. In all of the rules, do not, in all of the regulations, you listen in church, do not, in all of the number growth, do not, in all of the overwhelming children's ministry, do not, in light of our new worship pastor, do not, in light of everything going on in our country, do not, in light of everything going on in our state, do not lose sight of this. Let's read. This is exactly what he does. He's drilling, 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 and then he goes, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar, the foundation of truth. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in the body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by the angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on by the world, and was taken up into glory. When I was in Virginia and we started this ministry to young adults, calling it a ministry to young adults wasn't going to work, okay? Wasn't going to go over, all right? And also, traveling on the road, all right, talking to teenagers, preaching 2, 3, 4, sometimes up to 9 sermons in a given location, 180 days a year, and then transferring that to intellectual 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old collegiate students and young adults every week, same people for weeks, months, and years of time. Totally different thing, all right? I never wanted to be the guy that had 2 or 3 good sermons and I went everywhere and made money and that was that. But I have to tell you, I could preach a new one anytime, but I probably had 30 that I could just, you give me a passage, you give me a topic, I can go, all right? 30, maybe 40, all right? But I also knew that I had to be ready at the drop of a hat, and this happened to me once, that I went to a youth camp, and the guy said, you're going to preach every night, no problem, and every morning, no problem, and the whole week has to be on the Lord's Prayer. That's it. That's all you get. You preach on a beach to 6th through 12th graders 9 times on the Lord's Prayer. I got a line, a sermon. Our Father who art in heaven had to go 30 minutes. Hallowed be thy name. 30 more minutes. What? So I land in Virginia, and I've got to feed these people. I wasn't feeding them Baptists, wasn't feeding them church. We just decided we were going to feed them the word. And God spoke to me about this rhythm, the name of this ministry, and he spoke to me about four things that every group that gathers together have in common. Those are the four things that now are the foundation of what we believe as a church body. That the church ought to party, that they ought to be fun, that they ought to have joy, that it ought not to be boring or religious. We don't want to be Pharisees. We want to be God's saved and celebrated children, prince and princesses of righteousness, that we wanted to stick to the word, all right, that we wanted to be one in the body of Jesus Christ, one in unity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, and that we wanted to be missional, that it was not about us, it was about out there. Then I have preached over and over again, healthy church, all right? And number two in the healthy church was that the ultimate prize, as we're chasing and striving for the ultimate thing, that ultimate thing, the ultimate prize is Jesus. That our focus remains set and our sight remains set on Jesus. And people are like, well, hey, you're going to preach. I'm going to preach the pillars again. I'm going to preach the family values again. I'm going to preach the core values again. And people are like, we've heard them before. You need to hear them again. You need to hear them again. Well, we've heard healthy church before. You need to hear it again. You need to be reminded over and over again. And that is what Paul does here. That is what Paul does here. He stops and he says, for all of the battles that you will fight, and you've heard me say this in Coffee and Covenant, for all of the battles that you will fight, there are are you listening, church? You need to pay attention to this because I love you, but you need to hear me. There are very few things worth really fighting for. I'm going to say it again so that you get clarity. There are very, very few things worth fighting for. Now, is sin and running from sin important? It is. It always will be. Just like brushing your teeth is important. But not brushing your teeth is not an offense punishable by death. But we act sometimes like things like that are. They want to put blue carpet in our sanctuary. Well, that is an offense punishable by firing. Really? We have become, and I'm going to be very careful how I say this, we have become a culture that is solidified and ready to magnify every cause. And for days, weeks, months, posts on Facebook, messages online, emails at a time, we fire off our opinion on an item, on a cause. And I promise you this, 3 years down the road, nobody's going to care. You will fight over things. We have three or four causes in our nation and in our community today that people are wailing about. You know the post I haven't seen on Facebook? Man, it burns me up and it scares me to death that 18,000 people in my community will die and go to hell because they don't know Jesus. Anybody see that post on Facebook this week? Why? How come Bevan got more FaceTime than Jesus this week? Because I'm right. Because we are a cause-oriented people. Now let me be clear about something very quickly. Has anybody seen me post anything about this? Anything about Trump? Bevan, anything? No, and you won't. Do you know why? If I do not post about food, does that mean I'm not eating? If I do not post about teachers, does that mean that I do not support them? If I do not post about Bevan, does that mean? No, it means nothing. Better be silent and thought a fool than open my mouth and remove all doubt. Can I get a witness? Rarely will I say, do as I say, not as I do. But church, this is one that I can promise you, I would follow my lead on this one. Will I mess up? You bet. But do I? Is this one that I've practiced? You know, Lance Armstrong, he rode a bike. That's what he got good at. And y'all may or may not believe it, but I've gotten awful good at shutting up over some things. My sister's like, well. But it's true. And a lot of you who have asked my opinion on major things have heard this phrase. What do I say? I'm going to need a minute. I'll get back to you. Can I just give you a heads up? If I will get back to you. Everybody who's there, I'll get back to you. If I do not get back to you, take notes. I've told you everything you need to hear. All right? I'm going to jump over to Colossians real quick because there's a word that Paul speaks in Colossians that is worth noting for today, all right? You just have to back up literally like 3 or 4 pages in your Bible. So turn backwards 1, 2, between 3 and 4 pages to Colossians chapter 1. Paul's in the middle of a real sermon, a go-getter, and he's getting a little bit fired up in his only way Paul can. And he starts to talk, and he gets to the end here, and he says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard for Christ's afflictions for the sake of the body, which is the church." He's talking about the church again. "I have become its servant by the commission of God gave me to present to you in the word in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you want hope in a time of war? His name is Jesus. Do you want hope in an overwhelming drug war? His name is Jesus. Do you want hope in a place where budgets aren't budgeted? Jesus is hope. Do you want hope in a place where democracy and Republicans and all that runs rampant? Jesus is hope. Do you want hope when you're depressed? Jesus is it. Do you want hope when you're ill? Jesus is it. And why do we not see more of it? I'm going to tell you right now, because this is the mystery. A mystery is something that is hard to figure out, that is difficult to fathom. Paul says, this is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The manifestation of Jesus Christ in this world happens inside his people. And when his people choose to be cause-oriented and job-oriented and self-oriented, beyond Jesus-oriented, the message gets muddled and the world doesn't hear. That's why it's a mystery. Because they spend so much time trying to figure out what it is we actually believe in. We believe in Jesus, the God of peace. Can I ask you, if things looked peaceful on Facebook this week, then why would they buy into our God of peace? Do I have your attention, church? Because this morning is incredibly important. This is the mystery. The mystery of salvation, the mystery of the ages, the mystery that Paul says it was hidden. And then he uses a mystery, he uses a puzzle, he uses something like, what's that old thing, the riddle of the Sphinx? One of the ones I've heard is, what is it that walks on 4 legs in the morning, 2 legs in the afternoon, and 3 legs at night? If you've never heard it, the answer is you. Man, when it's born, crawls 4 legs. As an adult, it walks 2 legs. As it ages, it needs a cane, 3 legs. Paul does this at the end of the verse. This is the mystery. What is it? And then he goes, he appeared in the body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by the angels, but preached among the nations, was believed upon by the world, and taken up into glory. What is the mystery? Jesus. Jesus. The Word became what? 1 John 1:14. The Word became flesh. He appeared in the body, was vindicated by the Spirit. Man struck him down, but God, on the third day, the Spirit entered, pulled him forth, 100% human so that he could die, 100% divine so that he can live, vindicated from death by the Spirit of God. All right, he appeared in the body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by the angels. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. By him all things were made, and apart from him, nothing that has been made has been made. Jesus himself was there as the angels sang, as the cherubim danced, as the seraphim flew. Jesus was there, and they knew him before we ever knew his name. He was seen by the angels, but preached among the nations. He came here to teach, not the Jews, not the Gentiles, but in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, so that the world may know God. It was believed on by the world. For all those who confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart God raised him from the dead, they will be saved and taken up into glory. I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you might be also. It's a puzzle. It's a rhyme. It's a hymn. His name is Jesus. The mystery is Jesus. It's why the Gospels are called the Good News, for they are the story of God in the flesh, Jesus. He also does more. Steve, can you put the hymn back up here? He appeared in the body. I think it's verse 16 of 1 Timothy. All right, here it is. He appeared in the body, vindicated by the Spirit. It's not set up the way it is in the scripture on here, but if you look at it, it's six lines long. It's a six-line hymn that's set apart in your Bible. Does everybody see that? It looks different than everything else in your scriptures, all right? It's called a hymn, H-Y-M-N, okay? And it's written in couplets. Does anybody know what a couplet is? Shakespeare wrote in iambic pentameter couplets. All right, they're two lines at a time. And he teaches us some theology in there. Check this out. Look at the last word of each phrase. He appeared in the what? Body, but was vindicated by the what?
Spirit.
He speaks to us about the same thing he spoke to Nicodemus about live. We are not born once. We are born twice. We are born in the image of God. We are body and we are, all right? He also talks about his vastness, all right? Was seen by the angels, which are what? Heavenly beings, and preached among the what? Nations, all of the people in earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He is without realm. He is without border. Was believed upon by the world, this world, but taken up into glory. He is not just the God of heaven, but he is the God of heaven and of earth. There's theology all through this little song, all right? And we get to see that there is more than we could ever imagine to this mystery of Jesus Christ. For he is understood beyond this world, and he is to be understood in this world. He has sent the Spirit to vindicate us from our sin and teach us now, while he is gone, to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we might be there too. And you don't get there by taking up a cause. You don't get there by attending a congregation. You don't get there by being a good person. You don't get there by making enough money. You don't get there by attending vacation Bible school. You get there because you hold the hand of the mystery himself, who came to be held, Jesus Christ, and he takes you through the end. You don't get to the king unless you walk into the castle with the king's son. The end. Good, bad, rich, poor, fat, skinny, bald, hairy, you don't get to Jesus, Baptist or Methodist, without holding the hand of Jesus. And I don't have to explain it. Paul said it was a mystery. I just have to believe it. And I do. And I am called to teach it in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Let me be perfectly clear, church. It won't take long to preach this message this morning. Here it is. If we get caught up in the little things and we forget to keep the main thing, we will fail. It doesn't matter if our budget balances in the church, we'll fail. It doesn't matter if we do 30 mission trips, we will fail. It doesn't matter if hundreds of people a week come to hear me preach, like it's going to happen. It will fail. It doesn't matter if our music is good, we will fail. It doesn't matter if we have 30 small groups, it will fail. If we don't keep our eyes focused securely on the person of Jesus Christ. So if you come to me one day and you're frustrated, you come to me one day and you're angry, you come to me one day and you've got a cause you want to believe in, you come to me and you sit down and you point your finger and my first question is, did you and Jesus talk about this? And your answer is no, we won't have that conversation. And you will not call me conceited, you will not call me arrogant, you will not call me closed-minded. You and Jesus talk, and if it's focused on him, I can't wait to hear it. Till then, not my problem. Thank you, my brother. You and me can have church. I don't know who these other people are. We need to introduce them. Here's the hardest part. All of you believe every word that has come out of my mouth this morning. Right? Anybody in the room that wants to argue anything that's come out of my mouth up to this point, you, good luck. I mean, you know. Now listen to me. Let me then tell you what the argument ought to be. Let me then tell you what the question ought to be. What does that look like? What then in the world as it is, all right? What then in my job as it is? What then in this messed up system of mercy and judgment? What then shall we say? Okay. Jesus. No. Okay, that's right, but here's one of the areas we run to. One of the areas we run to is the silent soldier. I will keep my head down. I will keep my nose down. I will say nothing. I will know nothing. I will come to know Jesus Christ. He will work in my heart and my life. I will grow in him. He can grow in me, and that is that, okay? Very, very healthy personal approach. Very, very unhealthy ecclesial approach. Do you know what ecclesial means? Ecclesia is the word for church, all right? The assembling of the saints. If your head is down and your heart is learning and it is all about you, here's the problem. A, focus is in the wrong place. B, not following God's design for his plan for his people. C, not living out community like God is a community of one. And D, not able to pull all the resources and make greater things happen. So you've done it right, but you've done it wrong. Here's another approach. I will wave the Jesus flag. I will wear the Jesus tee. I will beat the Jesus Bible. I will hang the Jesus banner. I will follow the Jesus rules. Here's the problem with that one. The Pharisees were more railed against in the New Testament by Jesus himself than any other group of people. The religious folks who had their signs, who had their shirts, who had their banner, and followed all the rules and didn't know the man, failed miserably. Here's what happens when you do that. You get so caught up in the rules. You get so caught up in the shirts. You get so caught up in the look. You get so caught up in the presentation that you lose the person. Well, then, Craig, what do we do? Put one foot in front of the other. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Well, Craig, how do I know what to do next? I don't know. Did you open your Bible this morning? Tuesday afternoon. How do I know how to respond to this guy at my workplace? I don't know. Did you open your Bible this morning? How do I grow with other people in Jesus? I don't know. Did you make time to get to your small group this week? How do I grow in Jesus? I don't know. Did you make time to show up for worship and Bible study this week? How do I impart to my kids? I don't know. Did you bring them to kids' worship, to kids on mission? Did you sit down at the dinner table and talk about Jesus with your kids this week? People believe that they can stop off one time for 20 minutes for their fuel up as if I am the manager of the Speedway for spirituality and think that you can drive 100 miles an hour on Monday and your tank's still going to be full on Tuesday. It ain't my job. And I'm telling you how to get it done. Spend time with the Spirit of God. Jesus said, "For I am in the Spirit and the Spirit is in me." And when it got hard, Jesus didn't throw down the gas. You know what Jesus did? He ran up the mountain, got away from everybody, and he prayed. Because he knew when he came down off the mountain, there were going to be a bunch of religious knuckleheads dragging a prostitute girl, throw her at his feet in front of Walmart, and ask him to kill her. And he needed to be prayed up before he made up his mind. Yet you guys run out into the world with all of your causes and you wonder how to give the right answer when you never asked Jesus what it was you were supposed to say. And more than anything, we never asked Jesus what we shouldn't say. You cannot walk through life with your WWJD bracelet on. But you can, sure as the dickens, folks. You can get to know not a religious Jesus, but a God who came and lived on earth, a God who cried, a God who suffered, a God who laughed, a God who lost friends, a God who walked barefoot, a God who grew up a teenager, a God who was kissed and fed by his mom, a God who had zits, a God who understands all of the bad things this world has to offer. You can walk up to that God, hug him, listen to him, meet him, shake his hand, get to know him, and somewhere down the road be able to look right over your shoulder and go, how do we handle this one? Do you hear the difference? Do you know what most of us say? How do I handle this, God? Hey, up there. I got you, don't I? Hey, up there. Out there in prayer land. How do I handle this today? Don't you think God doesn't want to reach down and go, what do you mean, how do you handle it? Stop looking up and look over. I'm standing right next to you, and you don't have to handle it alone. Did I spit on you?
No, I'm just being prepared.
Maybe I get all up in your business because that's where Jesus is anyway and you're just ignoring him. Can I ask you a question? Why is it a mystery? Why is it a mystery? Do we need to call the mystery mobile? Do we need Shaggy and Velma up in here? We need Scooby to come in here and go, roo, roo, rip some mask off my face. Oh, look, it was him all along. Why is it a mystery? Shouldn't have to rip the mask off people. What is it, that phrase, you may be the only Jesus some people ever see? Stop wearing a mask, just let him live. Stop wearing a mask and just let him live. Stop putting him in the co-pilot seat. Start letting him be the pilot. Stop making him your last choice after you've messed it all up. Before you step out of your house, make him your first choice. This is it. This is what the world's got to see. In the next Timothy book, I'm going to give you a preview. God tells Timothy how he's going to handle these things. He says, you don't have to worry, for I did not give you a spirit of fear, but I gave you a spirit that was powerful, a spirit that was loving, a spirit that has a sound mind. Let me suggest that there's no rally you could hold, no cause that you could hold up, no amount of money you could raise that will come infinitely close to the power of Jesus Christ. And that God himself holds, the power that flung the universe into existence with a breath. Let me say that you can't raise a dollar that won't look like a penny to the Almighty God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Let me say that you can't learn, pass on any knowledge that he hasn't already forgotten 100 times over and learned again. For I did not give you a spirit of fear, but I gave you me. All the power, all the love, and all the self-discipline in the universe. What I'm asking of you is that you use it. You set a fork in front of a child, and they continue to put their hands in the mashed potatoes and gravy. What do? You keep inserting the fork. Guess what my job is? Why are you treating us like children?
Why you acting like
it? Nicole, could you say that out loud so I can't get any trouble?
Why are you acting like it?
It's only a mystery if you wear a mask. That or you don't know him. If you ain't got Christ in you, well, there ain't no hope. We can fix that. 885-6077. Give me a call. I'm here all week. I hope to come to you soon, but I'm going to give you some instructions. Beyond everything else, beyond all question, playing out this whole godliness thing is great. He says, basically the Hebrew or the Greek here means we all vote yes on the question of, is this difficult, okay? We all put in a motion that this whole Jesus thing is hard to pull off. But there is an answer. The answer came in the body, was vindicated by the Spirit, lived with the angels, taught among the nations, was believed on by the world, and taken into glory. He served. What does Philippians say? Not that I have already, Philippians says, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or something to be taken hold of, or Stephen's favorite word, something to be leveraged. He did not consider his pious position something that he could say, well, because I'm God, I won't know. He wasn't pious at all. He came and became a man. Not just a man, he became a servant. Not just a servant, one who would wash feet. Not just one who would wash feet, but a God who would die. Not just one who would die, but who would be crucified. And then God exalted him to the highest place. Gave him the name above all names, that at that name, what? Every knee will bow. And every tongue, Democrat, Republican, Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, Islam, every tongue will look one day, bow down and say, Jesus is who he says he is, and it will be a mystery no more. The question is, will you take hold of the answer now and be a light to the world today? Be the kingdom come. That is the utmost call of the church. Be careful the cause. Focus on the Christ. Let's pray. God, there's a song that's echoing in my spirit right now, and the words go something like this: single-minded, wholehearted, one thing I ask. Single-minded, wholehearted, one thing I ask. That I may gaze upon your beauty, that I may seek your holy face, that I may gather in your presence, O Lord. David said, better is one day in your courts, one day in your presence, than 1,000 days anywhere else. God, may our church, may our family, may our friends, may our children hear this today. May we seek your face. May we seek first the kingdom of God and know that as his children, all these things will be added. It does not say when. It simply says they will. Let us remember this. Run the race. Keep the faith. Run to Jesus. Amen and amen.